You're listening to What's New with Wired.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. You know, some things take a lot of work, like sending little robots to far-off distant planets. And just as that's challenging, so too is running a successful e-commerce business, especially when there's so much to do. So I want to introduce you all to ShipStation. Now, I love using ShipStation because of its easy-to-use dashboard, which makes managing orders and printing labels a breeze and super smooth. Oh, and the customer service is just out of this world. It's exactly what you need to help grow your business. Sign up for your free 60-day trial at ShipStation.com/technews. That's ShipStation.com/technews.
This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Each episode features insight you won't find anywhere else from the center of the conversation surrounding emerging technologies like AI. Right now on the podcast, you can hear a special episode where Brad Smith lays out Microsoft's vision for a vibrant marketplace driving the new AI economy. To hear more, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
It's today's most interesting thing in tech from Nicholas Thompson, editor-in-chief of Wired.
There is a lot happening in tech right now. Two big laws in California just went into effect. One of them, privacy law, modeled after Europe's GDPR, gives people the right to find out what data companies have gathered on them and to delete it if they want. It will be a benefit, or privacy benefit, to people in California, but also to people across the country, because California is such a big state. Every company is going to have to comply with it. They'll probably also make it much easier for people in other states to request their data as well. Second, California law classifies gig employees, kind of people who work for Postmates or Uber, as full-time employees who deserve benefits. Naturally, the companies are fighting it in court. That will be an interesting one to watch. I was also struck, speaking of the court, by a ruling in the European Union Patent Office that a patent application filed supposedly just by an AI, i.e. an AI program without a human attached to it, it was rejected. The EU Patent Office said, hey, if you're going to file a patent claim, you need to have a human attached to it. We're going to see a lot more legal cases like that. But the most interesting thing, we need to talk about how Iran is going to respond to the killing of Qasem Soleimani, number two ranking official in Iran, a possible successor to lead that country, who, as everybody at this point probably knows, was killed by an American drone strike near the airport in Baghdad yesterday. So there are a lot of international implications that are beyond the purview of this recording, but there is a very interesting element, which is that one of the ways that small states slash weak states can respond against strong states, the way Iran can respond against the United States, is through cyber warfare. It is a traditional tactic in asymmetric conflicts. Not only that, but Iran has been very much been building up its cyber force capabilities, particularly over the last, since 10 years ago, when the United States and Israeli operation called Stuxnet messed up Iran's nuclear facilities. So, how will Iran respond if they do choose to respond, or have some element of their response come through cyber warfare? One is what's called wiper attacks, something that Iran has shown that they are good at in the past. They did it to Saudi Aramco, for example. They did it to Sands after its owner, Sheldon Adelson, said there should be a nuclear strike against Iran. Iranian hackers go in and wipe the computers of a company, which can be extremely disruptive. If you create software that can spread from one company to another, it can be even more disruptive. So a second kind of attack is we've seen a lot of evidence, or a certain amount of evidence, that Iran has been trying to infiltrate American government agencies, Department of Defense, Department of Energy. What they want to do once they've gotten inside, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. We also can be quite confident that they've gotten inside the networks of other government agencies that we don't know about. Maybe they'll steal information. Maybe they'll sow disinformation. We don't know. Third possible path for a cyber attack would be actual industrial disruption. Try to hack into a power grid, then shut the power off. Try to do kind of what the United States and Israel did with Stuxnet. Find some kind of industrial operation, get inside the systems, and shut it down. So no one knows what happens next in this conflict, but I'm pretty confident that cyber warriors in Iran, the ones who are going to try to mess with the U.S., with the U.S. government, with U.S. companies, with any company they think is connected to the operation that just happened. I think there's going to be a lot to watch and a lot to be worried about. All right, that's the most interesting thing in tech. I'll see you from Las Vegas and CES on Monday.
Get more great stories from Wired in our daily newsletter. Sign up at wired.com/daily.